Again, together we have the privilege, and indeed it's an enormous privilege, to be able to look into the Word of God. Because every time we open the Bible and begin to read it seriously, we know that we are hearing the voice of God. Because every word in the original languages of the Bible came right from the mouth of God. And so it's super, super important. Now, as we've been going through the Bible, we have simply gone from verse to verse wherever God would take us and trying to understand what God is saying. And in the process of doing this, over these last years, we have learned a great many truths, as God has in his great wisdom and good pleasure and quite undeserving to us, has opened our spiritual eyes so that we are learning more and more about how glorious, how wonderful, how marvelous the Word of God truly is. And we came down here into Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Jehovah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, or know Jehovah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, we began to get into this, because it's talking about the covenant. And this has been one of the mysterious words of the church age, the covenant. What in the world is this really? And it has been used in that word covenant has been used in many, many different ways. We are a covenant people. We're a covenant family. Our children are in the covenant, and so on. And yet I must confess, in all the years that I was in the church age, I really did not have a very good understanding of what the covenant really is. And I doubt whether in the churches they have a very good understanding. But we began to develop this because this is what these verses are talking about, a covenant. We can't even begin to understand these verses till we first figure out what a covenant is. And we learn that the covenant is the Bible itself. The covenant that God is talking about is the Bible itself. It's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word testament and covenant are their synonyms. They mean exactly the same thing. There's no distinction between them. Those words can be used quite interchangeably, testament or covenant. And a covenant is an agreement. It is a agreement whereby certain things are going to happen, certain things are promised, and also there are certain demands made on those to whom they are promised. And that is exactly what the Bible is. And so whether we talk about the Word of God or talk about the Bible or talk about the law of God, we're always talking about the covenant. Now, we went back to Genesis chapter 17, and there we find very initiation of language concerning the covenant, but we do find the very definite language pointing to the fact that God would develop this covenant. Now, we must bear in mind that for the first 9,500 years of history of the world, Until Israel went into the land of, or left Egypt to go into the land of Canaan, there was no written word. There was no written covenant. It just did not exist. And yet God was saving, because the terms of the covenant already were applicable ever since Adam and Eve fell, given the fact that the Bible, which is the covenant, discloses to us God's whole salvation plan, and that includes the fact that Christ was the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. That includes the fact that God chose those that He planned to save already before the foundation of the world, and so on. And so it means that all the terms of the covenant were in place right from the very beginning, but they were not put into any kind of a written form, any kind of a written form, until God began to write the Bible. And that then became the covenant. Now, before the Bible was completed, their people were becoming saved, because, as I indicated, the terms of the covenant were in place. The Lamb, in principle, had been slain. There was forgiveness for sins and so on. But the only way you could hear the law of God and the principle of the covenant is that we have to be under the hearing of the Word of God. That principle of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which is an integral part of the covenant law, says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so they could hear the Word of God for the first 9,500 years, but they could not find a written document with the Word of God. They could hear it through a friend. They could hear it through a prophet that God was speaking through. Remember Enoch, for example. We read in the book of Jude about Enoch that he spoke, and he lived thousands of years before Abraham, and yet he spoke language that fits right into the Bible, or exactly into the Bible. Well, let's just look at that for a moment, just to emphasize that. If you look in the book of Jude, we read in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. God, make sure that we understand this is the Enoch of Genesis chapter 5, way back long before the flood. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them, against Him, and so on. It's the language of the Bible. It just fits perfectly into the language of the Bible, because God was giving His covenant statements, His law statements, verbally to Enoch, who in turn spoke to the people around him, and so they heard the law of God. Same way with Noah. Noah was told, build this ark. This was thousands of years before Abraham. Build this ark, and God gave him these dimensions and the how to do it. And he was a preacher of righteousness. As God spoke to him directly, he in turn spoke to the people of the world of that day. And so through this Word of God, and that's the only way faith can come through the Word of, is through the Word of God, there were individuals who did become saved. Not many. We know in the days of Noah that it impacted only his family, his wife, his three sons, and their respective wives. Other than that, the world that existed in that day remained in total unbelief. But nevertheless, the covenant was operating. God's law was operating. But then we began to look at Genesis chapter 17. And there God makes specific promises concerning the covenant to Abraham. He says in verse 7, I will establish, this is Genesis 17, verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And then he says that the token or the sign of the covenant, notice, look when we go down to verse 10, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. That language, just the way God has placed it, has really quickly obscured God's message to mankind. Because there immediately all kinds of people have read this and said, oh, that's it. If we are sons of, our descendants of Abraham, if we have been circumcised, and of course that was only applied to the males, if we are circumcised, then we are in the covenant. Because the covenant is that you have to be circumcised. And this was totally incorrect what they were talking about. It was a totally incorrect conclusion, but it was an easy wrong conclusion to come to. But this, we're going to learn, is the nature of the covenant, that when God wrote the Old Testament, he wrote it in such a way that truth was very difficult to find. It was obscured. And God has his purposes for that. Then finally, and I'm going to just give you kind of an overlook for a moment, and then we'll back up and get back into the detail. Then finally, he wrote the New Testament, and the new, that is the second part of the covenant, and that was revealing a whole lot of information that was not given in the Old Testament. So as soon as we had the New Testament, now we can read the Old Testament and learn a lot of things that we didn't know before. For example, when it talked about these burnt offerings and so on, we can see literally what he was pointing to, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the burnt offering, that he came for our sins. And so finally God completed that written covenant. And as we indicated, I think, in our last study, about the year 95 A.D., it was completed. Now, then God, now incidentally, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to make a point here before we leave this. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, as God is writing that first beginning of the covenant, the first written word. Remember now, this is the setting of this, that for the past 9,500 years approximately, there was no written word, and yet people were becoming saved, but they had to become saved as they heard the word through a prophet who received it directly from God and then told it to others who may have told it again to others beyond that. And so it was the Word of God. And so a few people did become saved. But when God began his written word, then he made a stipulation in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He says in verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did, and so on. In other words, God now is saying, no more. The word of God has to be from the written covenant, from the written covenant. Now that God had begun to write that written covenant, which he began to write, what was the first thing that he wrote? The Ten Commandments. Moses went up on Mount Sinai and came down with two tablets of stone, written the ten laws of the Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God. That was the initial beginning of the written covenant. And then Moses went back up on Mount Sinai and God began to give him law after law after law after law until finally, by the time 40 years later when Moses died, we have the first five books of the Old Testament all given in written form by God. The written covenant was really being prepared. And then God continued to give that, develop that first part of the covenant until all the way until the days of Esther, and the last entrance into that first part was in the year 391 BC. We can know from the timeline that the Bible gives. And during that 1,056-year period that went from 1447 BC when Moses was on Mount Sinai until the days of Esther, during that period, God wrote the Bible, the Old Testament part of the Bible. But he's already said right at the very beginning here in Deuteronomy 4. Now this is it. From now on, don't think that I am saving anybody out there unless they are hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God has to come from the written Word. This is the covenant. It's interesting, you know, when God began again to give us the rest of the covenant, and that began about the time that Jesus went back to heaven, and over the next 60 years or so, the New Testament was written. And what did God do? When we got right to the last chapter of the New Testament, the New Covenant, what did God say? Go back to verse 18 of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 18. He said there, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." In other words, God locks it up. He began with the Ten Commandments. He ended with these verses in Revelation 22. And he says, "Now, this is my covenant. This is my law. This is the gospel. This is the Word of God. This is the only place you are to look for truth." But then God did something else very curiously. He wrote the covenant, but in order for the covenant to work in the lives of people, it required the activity of God himself to apply that word to the hearts of those who are hearing from the Word of God. In other words, God did not write a covenant or a law or the Bible and say, "Here, mankind, here it is, there it is. It's all there. Read it and ponder it, and can you'll so slowly on come to understanding." No, God didn't do that. God didn't do that. God wrote the Bible in such a way, and it's only in our day that we've come to understand this. And I've looked at material that I wrote about the covenant years and years ago, trying to analyze certain verses that speak about the covenant, and I realized, my, I missed it a mile. I missed it a mile. I didn't understand really what God was saying. I really worked hard to try to understand, and I didn't understand. Why? Why? Because the Bible is a living Word of God. It is not just a book. It is not just another document that's in black and white. The Bible is a living Word of God, and in order for it to be understood, properly understood, God himself has to open the spiritual eyes and understanding of the one who is reading it. That's just the nature of the Bible. God has to really finally open our spiritual eyes. Now, we can have some, God has already established some ability to do this, in that God's law is written on our hearts. Intuitively, we know there is a God. We know that we have to listen to the law of God, and we can begin to make a stab at obeying the law of God and so on. But to really come to a real understanding of the Word of God, God has to open our eyes. We've come to the end of our time, and so we can't go any further with this program. We trust that you will look into the Bible and read these things we've been talking about. Check it out to make sure that what you are hearing on this program is faithful to the Word of God, because finally, the only authority is the Bible.